Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Zayin. Today's daf, we're going to continue to discuss a lot of the therapies for different ailments that we do not recommend trying at home, and various incantations that people recite to solve the problems of certain ailments that they're suffering from. And then before the Mishnah daf Samach Zayin, the Gemara is going to discuss why all Jews are permitted to wear bells on their clothing, even though, as the Mishnah had said, it's really only appropriate attire for Bnei Malachim. And then the next Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss the parameters of the Yisra of Darkei Amori and get into other therapies and incantations that people say that may or may not be a violation of Darkei Amori. And then at the end, we're going to have a brief mention of two quick halachos that are very nogei lemaisa. One is bal tashchis, and the other is the permissibility to say like a lechayim before drinking. This is the source of something like that, of saying some sort of divrei bracha before having a drink. So b'li neder, we'll try to finish the sixth parak of Masechta Shabbos today. This is the last daf of the sixth parak of Masechta Shabbos. We are holding three words before the end of the page on Samach Vav of Beis, Amar Rav Huna. So again, continuing the list of therapies, now that we've gone through all of the different therapies that Abaye learned from Aim, that he learned from his adoptive mother, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says he has a few of his own. Le'ishta Tilsa, for a fever of 3 days, Laisi Shiva Siloi Mishiva Dikli, he should bring 7 branches from 7 dekel trees, v'shiva tzivi, and 7 splinters mishiva kshuri, from 7 different beams, v'shiva sichi mishiva kshuri, and 7 pegs from 7 different bridges, v'shiva katimi mishiva tanuri, and 7 piles of ashes from 7 different ovens, v'shiva afri mishiva sanri, and 7 piles of dirt from 7 door sockets, v'shiva kufri mishiva arvi, and 7 piles, or I don't know what you call it, a pile, but 7 pieces of pitch from 7 different ships, v'shiva boni kumuni, and 7 kernels of cumin, v'shiva bini midikna de kalba saba, and 7 hairs from the beard of an old dog, and he should hang it around his neck using a strand of hair, and that's going to solve that's going to cure the fever of 3 days. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, La Ashtet Samirta, if a person has a high burning fever, Lishkal Sakina de Kula Parzli, you should take a knife that's made entirely out of iron, Veleza Lahecha de Ika Vardina, and you should go to a place where there is a thorn bush, Velikter Bei Nira Barka, and you should tie on it a strand of hair, Yoma Kama, on the first day, Lichrok Bei Porta Velema, Vayar Malach Hashem, the first day he should start saying the pasuk Vayera Malach Hashem Elav, that the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh, that Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Belabaseish Mitoch Hasneh Vayar Vinei Hasneh Borbeish Vasneh Enenu Ukal. So you should start with that pasuk, meaning referring to a fire that's burning but doesn't consume. Again, we're talking about a guy who has a burning fever, so he's going to say a pasuk about a fire that's burning but it's not consuming that which it burns. Lamacha Lichruk Bei Port of Alema. Then the next day he should again say Vayomer Moshe Asura Navere. He should go weiter and say the next pasuk Vayomer Moshe Asura Navere Samara Agadol Azem Madul Yivarasne, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me turn and see what's going on over here. Why is the sneh not burning? Lamachalikrupe Port of Alema Vayar Hashem Kisoli Ros. And then the next day he should say the following pasuk Vayar Hashem Kisoli Ros Vayikrela Velkimi Tochasne Vayomer Moshe Vayomerineni, that Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had turned to see what was going on, and he called to Hashem, he called to Moshe from the sneh, and he said, Moshe, Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hineni. That pasuk, the Bali Musar point out, I think Moshe points out in Drash Moshe, but the Bali Musar point out that what did Hashem see that caused him to want to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu? Kisar liros, that Moshe Rabbeinu had just stopped to see what was going on. I mean, very often things happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us in a variety of ways and performs various miracles or unusual things, and we just don't stop to see what's going on. We ignore it because we're just so caught up in our own lives, we're caught up in everything else that's going on in this world, that we just don't stop to appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So what made Moshe Rabbeinu special was not that there was a sneh that he saw that was not being consumed by the fire. It's that he stopped to take a look and say, well, what's going on over here? Is there a message over here? Is there something someone's trying to tell me over here? When Hashem saw Kisar Liros, that he turned to see what was going on, that's when Hashem decided to call out to him and enhance the vision even further. Amli Ravacha Bered Rav LeRavashi. So Ravacha Bered Rav says to Ravashi, wait a second, you're trying to cure this fever. How could you leave out the next pasuk Vilema, he should also say the following pasuk, Paragimel pasuk Hey, Vayomer al tikrav halom, where Hashem says al tikrav halom, Shol no lechem yal raglecha ki amakam asherato amedo lav ad maskodeshu, where he says don't come close, you have to take off your shoes because the place that you're standing on is ad maskodesh, it's holy ground. I mean, why does he suggest he has to say that pasuk? So Rashi points out Shol yikrav zeh hacholi lav, because again these pasukim are trying to be ma'orer a certain idea that the illness should leave the person. So you want to say the words al tikrav halom, don't come close, as if you're speaking to the illness, that this illness shouldn't come close to me, the illness should go away from me. So don't you want to use those words somewhere in this incantation that's going to get rid of the illness? So ella, rather the process should go as follows. Instead of reading the first three pesukim, pasuk beis, gimel, and dalit, it should be as follows. On the first day, liyom kamalema vayera malach Hashem elav vayomer Moshe. You should read both pasuk beis and pasuk gimel on the first day. Ulamachar lema vayar Hashem kisal liros. On the second day, you read pasuk dalit ulamachar vayomer al tikrav alom. And then on the third day, you read pasuk hey. So you can get to that pasuk of al tikrav alom in the process of getting rid of this fever. V'chi pasuk lei. And when the fever stops, litse velifseke, he should bend low and cut the bush velei mahachi and say as follows: Hasne hasne lav mishum de gavias mikalilani ashriya kadosh baruch hu shechina seyalach. It's not because you are the highest of all trees that Hashem rested His shechina on you, sne. Ela mishum de mayachas mikalilani ashriya kadosh baruch hu shechina seyalach. Rather, it's because you are the humblest of all the trees that Kadosh Baruch Hu rested His shechina on you. Very reminiscent, of course, of a Gemara we're going to have later in the Masechta, in about 3 weeks, of Har Sinai, that Har Sinai was zochet to have the Shechina, was zochet to have the Torah given on it, not because it was the highest of the mountains. I believe it's, I assume it's a Gemara later, Pechas, when we discuss Kabbalah HaTorah. I haven't checked, but I assume that's where it's going to come up. I guess we'll find out. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka goes for the most humble, because the Shechina can only rest where there's humility, and this in the idea of both Torah and Shechina. When there's humility for Torah, it's because Divrei Torah Olim Mekayimin, with someone who's willing to humble himself, a person who thinks that he knows everything and has the gaiva to assume that his baich svaras are the strongest svaras in the world, is not going to be able to internalize the svaras haTorah. It's an entirely different system of logic than normal person's logic. And Hashras Hashchina is even a simpler idea, that if a person is going to be mekabel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there's an expression Chazal have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there's not enough room in the world for someone with a giant ego and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't leave, if his ego is so big, he doesn't leave room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Hashras Hashchina is only when there's no ego, is only when a person has a healthy sense of anivus. So the symbolism of that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina on the snow, on this little bush. V'kihechi dechamisei ashta l'chanani mishol v'azariah. And just like the fire held chanani mishol v'azariah v'arikos min kadmoi, but then fled from them, ran away from them, kentach mine ashtu leploni bar plonis, so too the fever that has seized me, v'taruk min kadmawi, should run away from me, and that should be what he says in order to get rid of his fever. So that's for fever. We're on the fourth wide line now, in Samuk Zayin Amr Aleph, l'simta, for boils, le'mahachi. He should say the following incantation. Some parts of it make sense, some parts don't. That's the thing with incantations. Baz bazia, mas masia, kas kasia, sarloi varmarloi, alin malachi dishtalchu me'ara destom, ula asa shchina ki'ivin. These are the messengers that were sent from the land of Sodom to heal painful boils. Bazach bazich, baz basich, mismasich, kamon kamich. These are, you know, repetitious words that are part of an incantation. Einayich beich, einayich beich. Your color should stay the same. Asrich bach, stay where you are. Zarich kikolut v'kupreda deloparav v'loravya. Your seed should be sterile and like a mule that's loparav v'loravya, that's not able to reproduce. Kach lo tifra v'lo tirba v'gufei deploni barplonis. So too, you boils should not have pruravu, should not reproduce in the body of ploni barplonis. And again, referring to himself by his own name and mother's name, because as we said yesterday, that when dealing with illness, that's what we always do. We always daven for a person's name, ben the mother's name. That's ploni bar plonis, not ploni ben ploni. Lekipa, for blisters, lemach, where the Rashi actually has two deis, what lekipa is. If you look at Rashi, unpulsh ababuos, kach loshen Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Menachem, that it's ababuos, that it's blisters, veloshen rabosai lekipa lemisha kofeu shade, that it refers to someone who's being seized by a shade, by a demon of some sort. And we're going to see before the Mishnah a few more issues relating to demons that we're trying to avoid. So lekipa lemahachi, for blisters, a person should say the following: cherev shlufa vekala natusha, the sword is drawn, the slingshot is ready to fire, lo shme yochav chulin machovin, and it's not called yochav chulin machovin, these painful hurts, these the disease. Lashida lemahachi, for demons, for general demons, I guess, as opposed to the last kind of demon, you should say the following: Havias yad pakik de pakik havas. You should be closed up you should be. Lita tavor mushumas bartit bartama bartina kishamgas marigas vasamtai. You should be cursed and broken in mushumas is in a shamta. Bartit bartama bartina, these are the different names that we're giving for this shade. Lashida de besakise, for the shadim of the besakise of the bathroom, le mahachi, you should say the following: A karkafi da ari va'ause de guraisa, on the head of a lion and within the nostrils of a lioness, ish ashkachtun l'shidai, the demon should be found. Bar shirkir pandia b'mishra dekarti chavte, take him down into a field of leek. Belua with a jawbone, the chamra chatre, that I, the belua de chamra with the jawbone of a donkey, chatarte, I smote him, hit him. So that's the saying, I guess, that they would use to get rid of shadim. In general, there is a discussion in Achronim about shadim that usually starts with a discussion of the Rambam. The Rambam, for some reason, the Rambam says there's no such thing as shadim, that shadim is a figment of our imagination, doesn't exist. Now, the problem that all the Achronim ask on the Rambam is that it's against like half a Shas. All the Gemaras and Shas talk about shadim all over the place. So, in fact, the Gra even said about the Rambam that this is one place where the Rambam's study of philosophy has corrupted his view of Torah, and he misreads all the Gemaras because of his study of philosophy wouldn't allow for the notion of shadim. His ultra-rationalism wouldn't allow for the existence of shadim. So we mentioned in the past, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Ve'era in Emes Liakov has an interesting idea where he suggests, it's not clear at all that there's pshat in the Rambam, but he suggests that maybe to understand the Rambam, maybe what the Rambam means is not that there never was such a thing as shadim, it's that there's no such thing as shadim anymore. Rabbi Yaakov writes that in general the world has to work with a certain balance between kochos hatuma and kochos hakedusha. That if one were to outweigh the other, it would have disastrous consequences. If you have only kochos hatuma and no kochos hakedusha, then there are obviously disastrous consequences. If you had only kochos hakedusha and no kochos hatuma, then our bechira would be gone. We wouldn't be able to, it would be obvious, it would be too obvious for us to choose between right and wrong, to choose the right, that we wouldn't have bechira chavshes. So we need to have this balance between kochos hatuma and kochos hakedusha. So Rabbi Yaakov says, yes, it used to be that there was such a thing called kishuf and such a thing called shadim and all sorts of evil types of forces, of spiritual forces in the world, when we also had such a thing called nevuah and ruach hakodesh. So when you had those things, so there was a balance between the kochos hakedusha, the metaphysical kochos hakedusha, the metaphysical kochos hatuma. But says Rabbi Yaakov, when we lost nevuah, so we had to lose the kochos hatuma, had to be lost also on some level. We lose ruach hakodesh, so that kochos hatuma had to be taken down another notch. So he says maybe what the Rambam means, not that there never was such a thing as shadim, is that there's no longer such a thing as shadim because we no longer have the kochos hakedusha. So the Rambam doesn't change all the Gemaras. He just says that nowadays, in the times of the Rishonim already, Shadim didn't exist anymore. Again, you have to look carefully at the Rambam and see if that's really Pshat in the Rambam, but that's how Rabbi Yaakov suggests. Rav Aharon Soloveitchik has an even wilder understanding, where he suggests that, of course, there's such a thing as Shadim. Shadim is Chazal's way of saying bacteria. That why do you think Shadim were so bad in the Beis HaKisei? Without modern cleaning products in the Beis HaKisei, there were all sorts of little things that you can't see that caused all sorts of disease, but they couldn't even see them. There was because that's what bacteria is. It causes disease, and you can't even see it at all. Now the question, of course, is that fits some Gemara, fits the Shadim in the Beis HaKisei. It doesn't fit the Gemaras, let's say, for instance, the Gemara in Gittin that we learned recently, the Gemara in Gittin that says that if a guy, you walk by a bar and you hear someone screaming from a bar that, you know, give a get to this woman, my wife, you know, because you have to give her a get because I'm going to die here at the bottom of the bar. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, how can you give a get to that guy's wife? If you don't see him, maybe it's a shade that's screaming that. So, I mean, we often have bacteria that are able to scream such things from the bottom of a pit. I think Rav Aaron has some sort of explanation for that Gemara also. But again, very, very difficult to fit into all the Gemaras. Pashtus is the Gemara was talking about demons. It wasn't talking about bacteria, and it was really talking about demons. We just have to figure out how to fit that into our rational worldview. So the Rambam struggled with it, obviously. Okay, so this is a difficult thing. Ubnei Malachim Bezagin. The Mishnah had said that Bnei Malachim can wear these bells. So Mantana, Amar Rabbi Yosha Rabbi Shimon Hid, Amar Kol Yisrael Bnei Malachim Heim. It is Rabbi Shimon, the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Kol Yisrael has a din of Bnei Malachim. All Jews have a din of Bnei Malachim, and therefore all Jews are allowed to go out wearing these bells. Now, if you'll notice, if you look for the little letter for the halacha, for the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, it doesn't exist over here. No one says anything over here about Kol Yisrael being Bnei Malachim and therefore being allowed to wear bells. The Rush later on in Perek Yud Ches, Simon Beis says that's because we don't paskin this way. We don't paskin that Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim. So in the Chuvus Marimi Brona, Simon Reish Men Beis, he says just like we don't paskin Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim, so too, Lo Kaimelon Kol Kvud Debas Melech Pnima. We also don't paskin that all Jewish girls have to stay inside all the time because Kol Kvud Debas Melech Pnima, the whole covet of a Bas Melech, of a princess, is to be Pnima, is to always be introverted and be inside, and therefore a minig Nashim Yotzel Slischo B'shuk, and therefore women set up shops in the marketplace, because otherwise women wouldn't be allowed to set up shops in the marketplace. They would never be allowed to work because of Kol Kvud Debas Melech Pnima. Very fascinating chiddush, meaning he assumes that the two are related to each other. Usually, when poskim use Kol Kvud Debas Melech Pnima, it's more of an expression that there's a general concept of tznius that we certainly do hold of, a general concept of tznius. So, to the extent that a woman could be tznua, it's always a great maila to be tznua. But he takes it very literally that just like we are not considered bnei malachim in halacha, so women are not considered bas melech either in halacha. Very interesting chiddush of Marimi Brona. Rava Amar Ba'arig B'chsuso V'divrei Akol. Rava says, no, we're talking about bells that are woven into the garment, and therefore it's B'divrei Akol. Everyone's allowed to wear them, according to everybody. You don't even have to assume, like Rabbi Shimon, that we're all B'nai Malachim. As long as they're woven into the garments, there's no concern that you're going to come to remove them to show them off to anybody, because you can't remove them. It's part of the beged. If it's part of the beged, it's not going anywhere. Okay, says the Mishnah. Yotzin bebeitza sachargol. A person is allowed to go outside with insect eggs, ubishen shuel, and with the teeth of a fox, ubimisvar minatzalov, and with nails from a gallows, mishum refuah, divrei Rameir. Rameir holds all these things are mishum refuah, and you're allowed to go out with these items for the sake of some sort of refuah. V'cham moshin af b'chol, mishum darkei amori. V'cham say, no, not only on Shabbos you're not allowed to walk out with these things, on a weekday you don't walk out with a fox's tooth for refuah, that is darkei amori. That is the practice of the Amori people, and that's an issur d'oraisa. We don't engage in such practices. The Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, in the 8th Parak of Maseches Yuma, says, Ein lavar al mitzvah satorah ela berufuos shemirapin beteva. That if you're going to use a refuah that's going to involve some sort of violation of Torah law, it can only be a refuah that actually physically works in the world of teva. But if it's it has to be davar amiti, that's yotzi b'nisayon, that's been tested, what we call the refuah beduka, that's been tested and tried and proven, that's what we call the refuah. But to be misrape with a segula is aser, because nisyono rachok, we don't have any evidence that any of these things work. So the Nimukei Arachayim in Siman Shin Aleph, he asks on the Rambam, how's he going to explain this Mishnah, Yotzin bebeitzas hachargol, b'shein shel shuel, b'mismar atzalov, all these items, what does it help according to Seichel? These things should work? These are all derech skula. So he says that if you take a look at the Radvaz, the Tshuvas of Radvaz, he writes, since lo hotzi kederach hamotziin, it's only an issur drabanan. You're wearing it, you're not carrying these items, so therefore it's only an issur drabanan. And for an issur drabanan to violate an issur drabanan, even a refuah bederach skula would be mutter if all you're doing is violating an issur drabanan. Then he suggests maybe only the issur of hotza'a will allow for a refuah bederach skula, because sof, if it's merape and it's the derech to go out with it, so then it's not called hotza'a. Hotza'a is dependent on whether it's the derech or not the derech. So that becomes a tachshit if it's the normal thing to do. So if it's merape and it's a normal thing that people wear, so then it wouldn't be called an isra hotza'a. But every other isra Shabbos, you would not be allowed to violate for a refuah that works only b'derech segula. The Ma'aril in Likutim writes that you're not allowed to try all the refuels of the Gemara, and we should have mentioned this yesterday, I think we may have mentioned, I don't remember, that you're not supposed to try the refuels in the Gemara, because a person will never be able to figure out exactly how to do it properly, and it's not going to work, and when it doesn't work, we're going to mock Divrei Chazal, we're going to make fun of Chazal, and that's not going to be healthy for us in general, and therefore we try to avoid all of the various refuels of Chazal. The only one that for some reason is quoted by the Poskim is the one the Gemara is going to bring later, that if you have a bone stuck in your throat, that you bring that type of bone and you put it on your skull or something. So that is even mentioned in Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yerodea Simen Shin Lamed Vav, and he writes the nusach to say when you do that. For some reason, that one had a certain mazel that refuah segula, that type of refuah that it gets quoted by the poskim in Tshuvas Chavis Yair in Simen Reish Lamed Beis. He has a famous tshuva about the refuahs of Chazal, and he says you're not allowed to use them because we don't know what they mean most of the time. We don't know exactly the various herbs that Chazal are identifying. And plus, he says, Nishtanu Ativim, Nishtanu Adoros, things are different nowadays, maybe what used to work doesn't work anymore. Okay, that's what the tshuva from Rav Ram ben Arambam. Rav Ram ben Arambam says that if a person tries the refus of Chazal, he's dumb of Barosho. He has his own blood on his hands. It's like committing suicide. So it's not something that a person is supposed to rely on. Says the Mishnah, Yotzin bebeitza sachargol davdi l'shichla. What was the purpose of the beitza sachargol of the egg? So it helps for an earache. Ubeshein shel shuel, what did the tooth of a fox help for? Davdi l'shinasa dechay leman denai. If it was from a live fox, it would help for someone who sleeps too much, who has a sleeping disorder that he sleeps too much. If it was a dead fox, it helps for someone who has a sleeping disorder that he's not sleeping enough. So either way, it would help in either direction. The Kala Ramaz says that you have to say that the skula doesn't only works if you leave it on all the time. Otherwise, why would you need to go out with it? You just put it on at the time that you go to sleep or at the time that you wake up. You put it on, and then that would solve your problems. So obviously, this type of school of using the fox tooth apparently was something that they had to use all the time. We said to use the nail from the gallows, the abdi lezirfa. They would use that to cure swelling of some sort. Mishum refuah divrei Meir. Meir holds all this is mishum refuah. It's therefore mutter. Abai v'Rava Damri Tarvayu called davar sheyesh b'mishum refuah ein b'mishum darkei Amori. So Abai and Rava both say, well, that's the rule. Anytime something has a therapeutic value, it's not going to be a problem of darkei Amori. So how do we define what's called mishum refuah? Rashi in Chulin Daf Ayin Zayin and Beis says that whatever you do al hachola gufei, directly on the body of the chola, that's called mishum refuah. Anything that you don't do directly on the body of the chola is not called mishum refuah. So that's how we determine the difference. Ha'ein bo mishum refuah, but if something does not have refuah, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. That implies that it would be a violation of darkei amori. So ask the Gemara, but wait a second, we could come up with an example of something that's ein bo mishum refuah and apparently is not a violation of darkei amori. Va'atanya, we have a braisa, ilan shemeshu perosav sokro b'sikra v'tono b'avanim. If you have a tree that's struggling to produce fruit, that doesn't produce enough fruit, so the way to solve the problem is paint it red and put stones around the roots of the tree. So Bishlam Atano Bavanam, I understand putting stones around the roots of the tree, that will hopefully weaken it a little bit and affect its the way the nutrients go through the tree from the ground, and somehow that's going to allow the peros to be produced. But to paint it, what difference does a color color of the tree make when it comes to producing fruits? Why would you paint it red? That's obviously something that's Einbo Mishum Refua, that doesn't have any natural explanation. And apparently we're saying it's okay, it's not dark Amori. And so Gemara, Ki Echi Delechazi Yinesh V'Bara Le'Rachami. No, it does help, because people are going to see that tree, it will now stand out, and when it stands out, people are going to daven that it should, people will be Mevakesh Rachamim, that it should be able to produce fruit. Kedetanya, V'Tamei Tamei Yikra, like the Brisa says about someone who has Tzara'as, that Tamei Tamei Yikra, that he has to go out declaring Tumah. So Tzarech Lodiyot Tzar L'Rabim V'Rabim V'Vakshol L'Rachamim. The idea is, he has to let his Tzar be known to the masses, and then the masses will daven for him. Why is it? So that's the idea of the tree, that the tree, you make it stand out so that people will daven for it. And when people daven for it, they will produce more fruit. So it's not a refuah in the conventional sense. It's just a way of drawing attention to it so that people should daven. Why is the Torah merames to this idea of drawing attention to the need for tefillah dafka by someone who has tzaras as opposed to someone who has any illness? I mean, l'chora, when a person has any illness, you should somehow come up with a way to advertise it so that people will daven, that people will be mevakesh rachamim. So the Shar Mitzvah Balacha suggests that maybe dafka by mitzvah, because by any other type of illness, other people have a mitzvah of bikur cholim, so they'll come to visit him, and that's the whole mitzvah of bikur cholim. They'll see that he's ill, and they'll daven for him. It will inspire tefillah when a person goes to. That's not the whole mitzvah; it's part of the mitzvah of bikur cholim. That when it's Gemara Nedarim, it goes through the various elements of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah of bikur cholim is to see the person is ill and daven for the person. But a person has tzaras; he's chutz l'machne. He's not allowed to be with other people. So he needs to be screaming it from the rooftops. He needs to be yelling to tell people, tame tame, that he's got this problem, so that people will be mevakesh rachamim. That's what the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Hei says, daga b'levish yasichan l'acherim, according to one day in the Gemara, that if a person has a problem, he should tell it to other people. And Rashi says, shami yasi'u etza, so that they can give you some etza, they can help you out through the problem, that if a person is suffering from something, it's a good thing sometimes to advertise what they're suffering from, so that other people will be able to help the person out. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Ravina, Keman Talinon Kufsi Bidikla. According to who do we hang bunches of dates on a dekel tree? Kiay Tana, like this Tana. Tani Tana Beparik Amorai Kamei De Rabbi Chiya Baravin. So they were teaching over the halachos of Darke Amori in front of Rabbi Chiya Baravin. Amalei Kulu Ispu Mishum Darke Amori Levar Mehani. He says all these different practices, they're all a violation of Darke Amori except for the following: Mishi Yishlo Etzem Begrono Mevi Me Oso Amin Umaniach Leal Katkado Vele Mahachi Chod Chod Nachas Bala Bala Nachas Chod Chod Einbo Mishum Darke Amori. If someone has a bone stuck in his throat, they should bring from that same type of animal another bone and put it on the person's skull, and they should say, be swallowed, go down one by one, and say this incantation, and that's not a problem with Darkei Amori. La Adra, if there's a fish bone stuck in his throat, Le Mahachi, Nina Atzta Kamachat, you're stuck like a needle, Nina Alta Katris, it's embedded like a shutter, Shaya Shaya, go down, and again, this type of incantation, Ha'omer Gidi Gidi, Vesanuk Lo. Lo ashki v'kushki yesh permission darke amori. But if someone says gedi gedi of the son of ashki v'kushki ubushki, that is a problem with darke amori. Rabbi Yudo Omer, God ain't about the lashon of adzara shema orchem legad shulchan. God is not only to use the word God in any sort of incantation, it's not only Darkei Mori, it's worse. It's Avodah Zarah. That's a lashon that the Navi uses to describe Avodah Zarah. The pasuk starts, V'atem ozvei Hashem, Hashcheichem es harkachi, ha'orchim lagad shulchan. The people who leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said instead a shulchan for who? For this Avodah Zarah, for God. So that's a problem of Darkei Ha'amori. So, I mean, worse than Darkei Ha'amori, that's a problem of Avodah Zarah. Hu b'shma v'hi b'shmo yesh b'mishum darkei amori. Rashi explains what does this mean. Hu v'ishto machlifin shmosein zebzeb b'layla mishum nichush. That they're worried about some sort of problem of demons or something, and therefore the husband calls the wife by his own name and she calls him by her own name. They switch names as some sort of amori practice. That is a violation of darkei amori. Doni Dani, strengthen my barrels, yesh b'mishum darkei amori. To say something like that is also a violation of Darkei Amori. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein dan el lashon avodah zarah. To use the term dan is not only darkei Amori, it's worse. It's avodah zarah. Shenemar hanishban bashma shomron v'amru chay elohecha dan. So that's referring to an avodah zarah. It's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a lashon of avodah zarah. Now, when we say that it's avodah zarah, it's not just that you're mazkir the shame of avodah zarah, meaning there is a Gemara in Masech Sanhedrin of Samach Gimel where the Gemara tells you you're not even supposed to mention the name of an avodah zarah. For instance, if you want to meet somebody somewhere, you shouldn't say meet me b'tzad avodah zarah plonis, meet me right next to that avodah zarah, because you're not even supposed to mention the name of an avodah zarah. The Gemara even mentions that if you have a city named for an avodah zarah, this is a major problem nowadays, if you have a city named for an avodah zarah, so you're not supposed to even say the name of the city. So that would knock out saying the names of every city in India, because they're all named for avodah zarahs. So a lot of the Rishonim say, no, that's only if the avodah zarah is still being used. Okay, so that still knocks out all the cities in India. So they still worship all those avodah zarahs. So that's a serious problem. But that's not the Isra over here, because Tosfos over there points out that the Isra the Gemara rather points out that any avodah zarah that's mentioned in the Torah, you're allowed to say the name of the avodah zarah. Possibly because the Torah didn't use the real names of the avodah zarah, the Torah used or the Tanakh used names that mock the avodah zarah, that are made up by the Tanakh, but they're really corruptions of the name of the avodah zarah. But any name of an avodah zarah that itself ascribes attributes some sort of greatness or some sort of power to the avodah zarah, person is not allowed to say. So but over here, it is mentioned in Tanakh, so you would be allowed to say the name. That's not the issue. The issue isn't in saying the name; it's that you're being misspelled. That the avodah zarah should help you. That's the problem. That you're definitely not allowed to dive into an avodah zarah. That an avodah zarah should help you, even if you're allowed to say the name of an avodah zarah. Ha'omer la'orev tzarach. If a person says to a raven to croak, or to a female raven that it should shriek and turn its tail for good, all of these things are darkei amori. Homer shachtu tarnagol zeh shakara arvis, that you should shecht this tarnagol that croaked like a raven, v'tarnagolas shakara gavris, or this tarnagolas that crowed like a rooster, yesh b'mishum darkei amori. Those things are also a violation of darkei amori. Chedushei Aran writes, and the Ra'ah write that the gears over here should be ein bo mishum darkei amori, not yesh bo mishum darkei amori. That these things are okay. Beis Yosef says that in the name of the Ramach also that it's ein bo mishum darkei amori, and with that they're miyashiv that in Savos Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. He writes that yesh l'shachto, that you could shecht such an animal, they should listen to a person who says such a thing, that they should shecht these animals, that the tarnagolas that crows like a rooster, or the tarnagol that croaked like a raven, that you should shecht it. But in general, we would probably keep our girsa and not worry so much about the fact that Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is against our girsa of the Gemara, because Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is against half the Gemaras in Shas. He a lot of things that it says in Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid are against Gemaras. The different relationships he warns against, that this person shouldn't marry that person, are relationships that Chazal said are dafka ones that you should try to do. There are a lot of things that we don't really fully understand of why Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said certain things in his tzava. Nadav Yehuda has the famous explanation that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was only talking to his family, and he thought that he saw certain kochos in his family that he thought would be valuable for his family. The most famous one, of course, is where Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says that a father-in-law and son-in-law shouldn't have the same name, and mother-in-law and daughter-in-law shouldn't have the same name. You shouldn't marry a girl who has the same name as your mother. A girl shouldn't marry a guy who has the same name as the father. It doesn't say that anywhere in Shas. That says in Rabbi Yehuda. That's not against Shas. It just doesn't say it in Shas. There are many points in Sava that are against the Gemara. That one just doesn't say in Shas. That one, the one that's against Shas is about an uncle marrying a niece. That the Gemara says is a good idea, and Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says is a very bad idea. So that's against the Shas. But in terms of the names, so that's sort of Moshe has a tshuva about that. Do you have to be choshish for that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid not to marry someone who has the same name as your parent? So Pashtus is the real reason that it's a point of concern, is it didn't keep it on the aim. That when you call, you're not allowed to call somebody else who has the same name as your parent, by their name in front of your parent. And that's if you're living in close proximity to your parents and your spouse has the same name as your parents, so that's going to be a serious issue of kibra veim. So you have to come up with some other eitzah of how to call your spouse so it's not the same name as the parent. The eitzah shouldn't be to call them by your own name, because that could be darkei amori, we just saw, but you have to come up with some other eitzah. Moshe had two sons-in-laws, both of them named Moshe. Right, Rav Moshe Shuskal and Rav Moshe Tendler. So apparently he wasn't so worried about it. Maybe that's why Rav Moshe Tendler always goes Moshe David Tendler. He always goes by the second name also. I don't know. Maybe he went like that always. I don't know. Eshtava Osir, Yesh Pamishim Darkei Amori. If you say drink and leave over, that's also Darkei Amori. Hamavakas Beitzim Bakosel, Bifnei Afrochim Yesh Pamishim Darkei Amori. Someone smashes eggs against the wall in front of Afrochim, in front of young birds, that's also a violation of Darkei Amori. Vamegis Bifnei Afrochim, if you stir in front of a frog, in front of young birds, also Darkei Amori. Hamrakedes v'amona shivim ve'echad afrochim b'shvil shlo yemusu, yesh b'mishum Darkei Amori. If someone, merakedes literally means to dance, and you count 71 little birds so that they shouldn't die, that some sort of dance that they shouldn't die, that's also a violation of Darkei Amori. Hamrakedes l'kutach. If a woman is making kutach, some type of dish, and she dances in front of it because she thinks that it's going to make the dish a better dish by dancing in front of it, that's also vamishatekes la'adashim. Or someone is cooking lentils and tells everybody they have to be very quiet because the lentils are cooking. Or vahamitzavachas legrisin, or is cooking grisin, and therefore tells everybody to scream and start screaming because it helps the grisin cook better. Yesh b'mishum darkei amori. All of those things are darkei amori. It's interesting. We have that concept of noise affecting the way the way things work in the Beis HaMikdash, right? The kol is yafal b'samim. We assume that the noise made around the b'samim helps the b'samim in some way, but apparently not for kutach, not for grisin, not for adashim. That we think that's purely superstitious. That's darkei amori. That doesn't help anything. Hamashtenis b'fnei k'dei rasa b'shvil shetispashal mehira yesh b'mishum darkei amori. If a woman urinates in front of her pot in order that it should cook more quickly, that's a violation of darkei amori. It's also a health violation, probably. Avol nosin kisem shel tavas v'shivrei zechuchas b'kdeira b'shvil shetispashal mehira. But she could put a splinter of mulberry wood and broken glass in a pot so that the pot will cook more quickly. V'cham moshim b'shivrei zechuchas m'nei asakana. V'cham say, don't use glass. Don't put glass in your pot. That's dangerous to put glass in your pot. Tan Rabbanan. Nosin bul shel melech l'toch haner b'shvil sheter v'tadak. You could put a fistful of salt into a ner so that it will give a better light. It will light much stronger. V'nosin tit v'charasis tachas haner b'shvil shetamtin v'tadak. You could also put mud or clay underneath the ner so that it will light more slowly. It will burn more slowly. Rashi says tit v'charasis mitzanin in es hashemen. It has a way of cooling down the shemen. V'eino dolek maher, and therefore it's not going to light that quickly. In chashuk echem. On this daf, Samach Zayinam Beis, Rav Zilberstein discusses the following shayla, following riddle. Can you ever have, and this definitely counts as daf yomi coincidence, can you ever have enough oil to light for only 25 minutes and still be yotzei ner Chanukah? How can you have such a case where you only put in enough oil to light for 25, not the assuming the shir is a half hour, not the half hour necessary of tichla regel merashuk, and you're still going to be yotzei ner Chanukah? So he says, the answer to the riddle is Shabbos daf Samach Zayinam Beis, because the Gemara over here says that you put in, you could put tit v'charasis under the shemen, and that's going to cause the shemen to be cooler, and when it's colder, it lights more slowly. So really, it should have been only enough oil to light for X amount of time, but because they made it cold, so it's going to light for a little bit longer. So is that so is that okay for Neros Chanukah? Would be yotzei for Neros Chanukah? So he says, maybe this is similar to what the poskim are done about mavriach ari b'ner Chanukah. Let's say you use the in Eretz Yisrael, where they light outside, so they light in glass boxes the Ner Chanukah outside. So how do they protect the Ner Chanukah from the wind? Because the glass blocks the wind. But how do they reach in to light it if it's in a glass box? So they have these little doors that open up in the glass box and you light the Ner Chanukah. And when you're lighting the Ner Chanukah, the door is open. So if you were to leave it like that, it would never last. The wind would blow it out. It's only because you then close the door that the Ner is able to last. So the poskim are all done about this. Can you be yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah if at the moment of Hadlaka, it wouldn't be able to last because the wind would definitely knock it out, would definitely blow it out. It's only something you do later that enables it to last. It's only when you close the door that enables it to last. So the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is that they're makel about this shaila. Everyone is most of the poskim are mekel on this issue. They try to figure out why and how. Okay, so Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld already discusses it in his tshuvas in Siman Reish Samach Beis and Salmas Chaim, Rasi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi, Chelik Beis and Kuf Yudalit. They all give all sorts of different explanations, but the bottom line is they're all mekel. So Lechora says Rav Zilberstein, the same thing over here. If the ner is really only has enough oil that at room temperature it would light for 25 minutes, but you put it in the refrigerator first to make it cold enough, or you put a charasis or a tit for charasis underneath it to make it burn more slowly, so lechori you'd be yotzei yedei chavaso. So that's a gemara Shabbos Amos Zayin and Beis for the first day of Chanukah. Amar Rav Zutra, Hayman de mechsi shargal de mashcha. If a person covers an oil lamp, umagli nafto, or he exposes a lamp of nafto oil, ka'avar mishum baltashkes. That's a violation of baltashkes. If you look at Rashi, the mixi shagun demashkes shosel kisoy lemala mimaher lidalek. It makes it light more quickly. It makes it burn more quickly when you cover the oil lamp. Naft kishem megalin osaha or holich v'nim shachilav amavir. By a nafto lamp, it's going to burn more quickly when you expose it, when you uncover it. So if you cause the lamp needlessly to burn more quickly than it otherwise should, that's a violation of Baltashkas. A very interesting tshuva in the Torah Lishma. The tshuva's Torah Lishma, or Chaim She'ela Ayin Vav, says, L'mash she'menichim behem shemen harbe shir she'yad l'kol yom Shabbos kulu ad ha'erev, lo matzasi l'zeh smach v'lo remez v'sifrei kodesh. He says, a lot of people will leave enough shemen in their neiros Shabbos to burn all night long, that it will keep the house lit even way after they go to sleep. And he says, V'ani omer lo yafa dover zeh. This is not a good idea. V'tzarech levatla. We should be mevatel such a minag. Yan ki over mal baltashkes pazeh, desharga b'tiyah remayahani. They're violating baltashkes, because what do you need? First of all, if he said not that it would stay all night, that it would stay all day also. They light like 24-hour candles for Shabbos. What do you need it in the daytime? In the daytime, there's plenty of light. What do you need these candles for? We do find the concept of lighting Neros in the Beis HaKnesses even during the daytime because of Kavod Beis HaKnesses. But Bebeiso Shel Adam, Afilu B'Shabbos, Himishum Hana'as Ora. The whole reason we light Neros Shabbos is to be Nana from the Or. By Yom, there is no Hana'a from the Or. And Shabbos Samach Zayin on Beis says the Torah Lishma, Hayman de Michsi Shagar de Mishcho Migli Nafta Ka'avra al Baltashkis. It's a violation of Baltashkis. So he thought that it would be a violation of Baltashkis to do such a thing. So this is a major, if you're going to take that as a halacha lemaisa, so then our minhag is very difficult, that we light neros at all on Shabbos. What do you mean? We have lights on in the room. Sharga b'tia ramayahani is no longer a shayla only for the daytime. It's a shayla for the nighttime also for us, because we have lights on in the room. The candles don't really add anything at all to what we're doing. So you have to assume that by neros Shabbos, there's a double kiyum in neros Shabbos. There's oneg Shabbos and there's kavod Shabbos. So the kavod Shabbos is in the fact that you're doing something special that's clearly for the sake of Shabbos, and the oneg Shabbos is that you're enjoying the light. So in a chinami, the oneg Shabbos we really get from the lights that are on in the room. We don't really get much oneg Shabbos from the candles. But the kavod Shabbos is something that you dafka get from the candles by clearly doing something special. The Kavod Shabbos Kodesh by lighting in advance. I mentioned yesterday at Shalosh Shudas, Rav Shapter holds that because of this idea that candles lit in a room that already has light doesn't really accomplish anything. So two things. First of all, when a woman lights Neros Shabbos, she should also turn on the electric light and have in mind that the bracha goes on that also, because that's really what's lighting up the room. And the second thing is that if it's the second night of Yontif, where the only heter to light candles on Yontif is that it's doing something, it's a tzorach hayom ktsas. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to light candles on Yontif. If you have a light on in the room, he thought you shouldn't light candles. A woman shouldn't light candles on the second night of Yontif. It's quite a chiddush. Rav Moshe thinks you should anyway. And the Minhag Yisrael clearly is too light on the second night of Yontif. But it's a difficult kasha. Why? Shraga b'tir ramayahani. It's not accomplishing anything. It's not even a tzorach hayom at all. So anyway, says the Gemara Vayit. Now the last point in the parak. Chamra v'chay l'fum rabbanon ein bo mishum darkei amori. When a person gives out drinks, he says chamra v'chay when he pours kosos of wine. That wine and life to the Rabbanan, that's not a violation of Darkei Amori. Meaning this is the Talmudic version of saying L'chaim, that's not a violation of Darkei Amori. Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva sha'asa mishta l'bino, and the story happened with Rabbi Akiva himself, that he made a mishta for his child, for his son, v'al kol kos v'kos shehevi Amar chamra v'chay l'fum rabbanon, chamra chay v'chamra l'fum rabbanon l'fum talmideihon. He would say for each and every coast, chamra v'chay for the rabbanon, chay v'chamra for the rabbanon and for the talmidim. And apparently he held that was okay. That's not a violation of Darkei Amori, so it's okay to say l'chayim. And on that note, hadron lech b'me'isha, tomorrow we'll begin Parak Klal Gadol.